We believe this scripture is going to set the tone for us this morning. As we come back, start to face the new stretch from now until Christmas. Yep, I mentioned the word. And we've had our holidays, we've had our rest, and I believe God wants us to continue resting. That's good news, isn't it? God wants us to live in a position of rest. And these scripture words are lovely. I'll be sharing God's word later about this passage. But as the worship, the music plays, I'm going to read out the whole passage. And then we're going to just continue to worship God musically. And throughout the entire worship time, we'll be sharing communion, which I'll explain as we go along. But the communion this morning will involve you sitting up, standing up, coming down the front yourself and taking communion and going back. And if you are sitting with someone or are aware of someone who's not able to do that because of physical nature of things, then please take some communion back for them. But I'll be speaking about that as we go along. Psalm 91 says this: "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the one that we trust in. You are the one that we rely on. You're our fortress and our strength, our hope, our foundation. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Lord Jesus, thank you this morning for your faithfulness to us. You never leave us. You are always with us. You are always leading us. Thank you, Jesus. You cover us with your feathers. You're covered this morning. Just thinking that you are covered. You are that close to him. He has brought you near and has covered you. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Lord Jesus, thank you that catastrophe does not come from you. You haven't given it to us. You come to rescue us from it, save us in it, and work through it, Lord Jesus, to glorify yourself. And we thank you, and so many times you save us from it and prevent it coming to us because you protect us. Thank you, Jesus. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not overcome you. It won't even come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Lord Jesus, thank you that when you said it is finished, you took the punishment away from us. Thank you that we are not a people reserved for wrath, that you have saved us. Thank you for that joy in our hearts this morning, Lord Jesus. A bubbling brook inside of us, freedom and the joy of the well of salvation because you have saved us. We just watch your justice around us, but it doesn't come near us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. Thank you, Lord. We just proclaim that. No harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent as you're dwelling with him. Lord Jesus, we read these next words that Satan tempted you with because they're so good. Because they're so powerful. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. This week, angels are guarding you on your train journey into work. This week, angels are guarding you as you drive to work. This week, angels are guarding you as you do the school run. Because God is protecting you. He is that interested in our lives. The angels will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Lord Jesus, thank you. You've not made us afraid. You've not made us people who are running away from society, running away from reality. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You've given us a calling and a passion and a vision to make a difference, to put down the enemy wherever we see him, to overcome it, face it up and call it out. Thank you, Jesus. Because he loves you, says the Lord, he will rescue you. I will protect you, for you acknowledge my name. You will call upon me, and I will answer you. Just hear these words from the Lord himself. Hear him speak these into your heart right now. I will be with you in trouble. I will be with you in trouble. And I will send you to be with people who are in trouble. I've called you to bring peace. I send you to where there's disharmony. I've called you to be light, and I'm sending you to where there's darkness. I've called you to bring hope, and that's why you find yourself surrounded by despair. I am in you. I will deliver you and honor you. And with a long life, I will satisfy you. I will show you my salvation. I will show you my mercy. Show you my grace. Show you my love. I show you my forgiveness. I show you my second chance. I show you my third chance. I show you my fourth chance. Because I love you. I show you my 70 times 7 chance. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Why don't we just stand together? Let's all stand to our feet. Let's use this song to help us worship in the goodness of these words.
Oh,
Dave, perhaps you put the first slide up for us, that would be great. Got your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 91. It's the passage we read at the very beginning of the service, and we'll be teaching on that today. On the 23rd of September, which is a Saturday, and the 24th September, which is a Sunday, we are going to pray as a church. We're going to pray from Saturday lunchtime at 12 o'clock, and we're going to finish praying Sunday lunchtime at 12 o'clock. And we've broken that 24-hour period down into hour slots. And I want to encourage you and inspire you to pray for 1 hour during that period of time. I know already, because we've been chatting about this for quite a few months, it's a leadership team and a members meeting, but now we're announcing it to everyone here. I believe God's called us to pray and to spend time with him and to meet with him. We do that in prayer. Churches that pray together, they grow, they expand, God's kingdom comes, it's powerful. But I also know that prayer is hard, isn't it? Prayer, is anyone here really, really good at prayer and loves it? Anyone just like awesome at it? Good. We've got one person that's able to be honest. But it's quite tricky, isn't it? There's a battle going on inside us when we pray. The Bible says that the spirit wrestles with the flesh in Galatians. So we want to give you an encouragement to grow. We want to help you grow. And I know for some of you, to pray for 1 hour will be a challenge. So we've got two types of prayer that we're offering throughout that 24-hour period of prayer. And the two types are this. One is prayer that is led by someone who will lead an hour of prayer and help you if you may struggle to pray for an hour but want to do that. And there's a handful of who's going to lead different sessions in different ways. And then there's the second type of prayer, which is unled. And that is where this room will be open. And you can come in here and just pray, and it won't be led. It'll be your own personal communion, your own fellowship with God. The whole theme of that 24-hour period is this. Before me stood one like a son of man. It's a common phrase.
Hello.
It's a common phrase which people who encountered God in the Old Testament and in the New, but didn't know what they were encountering or seeing, they said, I saw someone. They look like a son of man, but I think they're God. They've got God-like qualities. And they were so caught up with the person of Jesus Christ and what he looked like and the experience of meeting with him. And I believe God wants us to spend the whole hour just worshipping and spending time with Jesus. Now, there are some people who are going to be here for the whole time. I'll be here for the whole time. A few others will be here for the whole time. There'll be some who will come for 3 or 4 sessions. You might be able to come for 2 sessions. And that's okay. But we've got a month to sign up, and you'll see at the back, if you all just turn around a minute, if you're able to turn around, you'll see to the right of Paul. Paul, just point your fingers to those two boards. Those two boards, there's the whole 24-hour period written out there in lines and slots, and it says what time and what's happening at each time. And all we want you to do is just tick if what slot you're going to go to. We don't want your name, doesn't matter, but we just want to get an idea of, for those who are leading the prayer, how many people they may be leading, because that does affect what we may do, what microphones we may need or may not. One of the sessions is going to be creative prayer, and that depends how much pens, paper, stuff is put out, that kind of thing. There will be Bible verses put up for all the prayer sessions around the room. They're just to inspire us and to help us. So that would be good, because if you're leading prayer, if you've got 20 people, that's different than if you're leading 60 people. But here's the aim. The aim is, just as in Acts chapter 2, at the start of the birth of the church, the Bible said they were all together in one place. And then they shared communion together. And they studied God's word together. And they prayed together. And they loved people together. And so our challenge at the end of September, on the 23rd and 24th, is let's see how close we can get to 100% of our church and everyone who relates to this church, see how many we can get to pray as part of that 24 hours of prayer. And if you're someone who has always thought, I would love to be able to have 24 hours of prayer set aside, I'd love to go away on a retreat or I'd love to do something, this is it. This is the time to do it. I would imagine throughout that time, there are all different types of expressions of prayers. There'll be quiet prayer. There'll be rejoicing. There'll be spiritual warfare, I guess. I guess there'll be weeping. There'll be repentance. I guess there'll be praying over the Word of God. I'm going to lead some sessions about praying through the Word. But it will all center around Jesus Christ himself. So we won't be coming together to pray for problems in the world. We won't be coming together to pray for the community. We won't be coming together to pray for each other. We will just be coming together to sit at the feet of Jesus and to spend time with Jesus and to look at him. And the reason we're doing that now is because we're just getting back into the throw of life, aren't we? August is a bit of a month, all doing different things, don't know where everyone is, and we're getting back into a bit of routine. Why don't we put the Lord Jesus right at the heart of that routine? That'd be good, wouldn't it? That'd be good. And to help us with that, I want to share some things in this passage, Psalm 91, which will really help us with that. It's about dwelling with God. Let's read the first two verses, and then we'll read verse 9 again. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. And then in verse 9 it says, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge. And on it goes. This passage is filled with loads of benefits that will happen to you as you are dwelling with God. Or you could say it another way. This is a whole list of things you don't need to pray about. So right at the beginning of this month, when we are preaching about prayer, all the next few weeks will be about prayer. Some of the guys from our preaching course will be sharing God's word again in a few weeks' time. And they'll be, again, focusing on prayer. So we're really going to be encouraged to pray. But I want to give you some things this morning that you don't need to pray about. They're going to happen. What a relief. It's going to make it easier to fill our slot with just focusing on Jesus. Because there's things we won't need to pray about. You're going to be really relieved when you see these. You'll be thinking, oh, I don't need to pray about that. I thought that was a biblical thing. I thought that was a spiritual thing to pray about. But you'll see that you don't need to pray about it. Because we dwell with God. What does the word dwell mean? Well, there's loads of different words that you could use that would kind of explain what this word really means. It means abiding. That will make sense to some of you, not to others. It means to stay. It means to delay. It means to wait or to live. It's about your location. It's about where you inhabit, where you make your nest, what you occupy, where you pitch your tent. Who likes camping here? Let me see your hand. You got a problem because camping is wrong. Roost. Settle. Or remaining. Or to reside. Or to stay. To crash, to squat, or to flop. Or to hang one's hat. Where you place your hat. Dwelling with the Lord. Just with him. Being with him. Remaining with him. When we go through this, these benefits, you'll see these. You'll see the language of rampart, you'll see shield, you'll see guard, you'll see the word fortress, you'll see the word command. And you'll see words of love, words of intimacy, God calling us and saying, I'm doing these things because I love you. And this is King David, fresh from the battlefield, saying there's all these things that have just happened in the battle. And God has done these. And it's as I'm dwelling with God, these things just happen. These blessings happen. And he is aware that the people who are going to sing this song in the temple that his son is going to build, they're not all military people. They're not all in the fighting forces. They're not all David's mighty men. Or they're not part of the three, which was part of his battle team.
But they will be people who are seeking God, worshipping God, and need those same benefits. And so this passage, David writes it literally, but he also writes it metaphorically. And you can apply some of his military terms to our daily experiences of life. And we'll do that as we go through. But they are basically protection and love. So let's have a look at some of these benefits. Instead of reading through the entire passage, I'm going to list them for you, and you'll see about the things that you don't need to pray about. Here's the first one. Verse 1 says we're going to rest. This is how well things go as you dwell with God. You just rest with him. He takes the burdens, he takes the pressures. You're that close with the Lord, you're focused on him, and you realize his supply. You realize his abundance. You realize his strength. You realize his size, his capability. And those benefits start to pour into your life. How well is that? How good is that? How well is life when you're dwelling with him? Here's the second one. Verse 3. We're saved from snares. Now, when David used to fight, one of the battle tactics against him was that warriors would leave snares, just as nowadays in our military campaigns, people leave roadside bombs. As they're in defeat, they run away, but they leave bombs to try and cause problems to the victorious army. And the same tactic was used back in David's time. And he was saying, Lord, you saved me from the snares. You saved me from being caught. I could be caught in a snare, and then some of the enemies will pick me off. In despite the fact that we're winning, they'll just pick one of us off in revenge at the end of the battle. And God saved him from those. And you and I can be saved from the things that snare us. We may be in victory. We may be having a great time. Our life may be going well. But we just have these little niggling things that go on. And look at this. We're saved even from the snares. That's how well it goes as we dwell with God. Look at this. Verse 3. Deadly diseases. I know everyone dies. David isn't saying no one's going to die of a disease. What he's saying is that we're saved from all the diseases. When you fight in battle times, personal hygiene goes out the window. You're concerned about fighting. You're not always fighting in the best situation. And there's heat. Food supplies can become full of germs and those kinds of things when you're in the battle forces. So the battle lines. So it's difficult. And the same happens to us in life. Things don't always go right. One of the things I used to love as a parent is hugging my kids when they were covered with a cold. I love you, Daddy. You know, you know, pity all the people who work in schools and particularly children's nurseries, you know, or a doctor, you know. Oh, no, doctor, I've got really bad cough. You know, thanks. So have I, you know. These things happen. Look at this wonderful thing. It saves us from the deadly diseases. We're celebrating Princess Diana, aren't we? 20 years. A wonderful image when she went and visited people who were gay in hospital and had caught AIDS. How lovely. And she held people's hands and broke loads of taboos about whether you would catch it. And, you know, God enables us to be free in ministry and not fear what we may catch. And that's what God does. Let's have a look at the next one. Verse 5. And not fear the terror of the night or the day. Whatever is seen, that's during the day, or whatever is unseen at night. It's metaphorical language again. How well things go as you're waiting on God and you're dwelling with him. Verse 6. Illness and plagues. God is a healing God, isn't he? God is a God who is well. God is never sick. And we can benefit from that. Things go well as you dwell with God. You imagine that image of being under God's feathers, as if he was metaphorically speaking, he was a hen or an eagle or a mother looking after the chicks very, very close. I was just on a holiday recently and saw a lovely image of in the wild of dolphins coming out of the sea. And this little, tiny little baby dolphin was just swimming fast around the mum and the dad who were just lazily swimming. That was a picture of me and my family on holiday. Kids active, parents just like, but they were safe with us. And this is exactly the same situation. Things go well as you dwell with God. Look at this. Verse 7, this is amazing. 10,000 may fall around you, but it won't come near you. How many times have you heard in the office or a place of work, oh, there's loads of going down with it. Oh, everyone's got it. Meaning you'll probably get it too. Things go well as you dwell. Others will get things, not us. Verse 10, no harm will overtake you. This is an interesting one here. This kind of cuts into the extremities of how some people might mistakenly interpret this. Because the Bible says we're going to have trouble in our life. But at the same time, God saves us from trouble. Here, God clearly says, and David says, you're going to have harm. But no harm is going to overtake you. If you're in battle, you're going to be harmed. You might get the odd cut, the odd graze. You might lose a limb. But it's not going to overtake you. It's not going to dominate your life. It's not going to define who you are. It's not going to be the end of all things. You're going to have life beyond it. You can have hope beyond it. And this is what David is meaning. No harm will overtake you. Or no harm will befall you. It won't trip you up so you're out of the game and you're a victim, ready to be pounced on by the enemy. But you'll still be able to stagger forward. Watching the World Athletics Championships. Who watched the World Athletics Championships at London Stadium? You see that? Two of us. Great. Awesome. This image will go down like a lead balloon. It was fascinating, the number of people that almost fell. 110-meter hurdles, staggering over to the next hurdle, coming to the end of the line and staggering and falling over. But there were some people who managed to hold it. They were like staggering and like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, they kept it. They kept going. Or there's some people who fell over and got up and carried on running. And you think, yeah, that's a great image of this. And if you're chasing a warrior or chasing someone you're fighting, and then they see you falling over, they're going to turn around and get you. And the Lord is saying through this passage, I'm protecting you. It's going to go well with you as you dwell with me. And I'll make sure that no harm overtakes you. You might get a bit battered and bruised, but it's not going to overtake you. Let's look at this. Verse 10. No disaster will come near you. Wow. Problems might be beset, difficulties, hardships, but no disaster. No disasters. All is well as you dwell with God. Look at this one, verse 11. All your ways are guarded. Have you ever seen a police car or a fire engine go right past you on the road? And you've always thought to yourself, I should speed up and follow that. But have you ever done it? Yep. Have you done it? I've done it. It didn't last long because people got annoyed and started getting in the way. But anyway. But that's the image of being guarded. God is making the way. People are getting out of the way and you're being guarded and you're being led. Sam used to work at the police station in High Wycombe, where we lived for a number of years. And she was the PA to the commander of all the forces. And so there was about 400 to 500 police officers, of whom Sam probably knew about 50 or 60. But they all knew who she was because she was a PA for the boss. And one morning, a police car pulled up alongside the bus stop as she was waiting to get the bus. And the window wound down. That'd be funny if the door wound down, wouldn't it? But the window wound down, and they said, "Hi, Sam, would you like a lift into the office?" Sam had no idea who these coppers were, but she just like, "Yep." And all the people at the bus stop were like, "Who do you know?" Imagine getting that kind of guard into work. That'd be so cool. But that's what the angels are doing, are guarding us. So not even our feet will fall. That promise is so good that even the devil himself tries to tempt you with it, to tempt Jesus with that. How good is that? Verse 12, he will lift you up when you're falling. There we go again. So you may fall, but you're not going to crash land. You may trip and stumble, but you're going to make the next hurdle. Isn't that a lovely picture? The prosperity gospel that says everything is great, nothing's wrong, is ridiculous. But God does prosper us. God does heal us. He does save us because he's good. And sometimes to make that goodness look so good, he has to save us out of situations. We might not like the situations, but he loves it because it makes himself look better. And that's right, because he's the best. Verse 13, able to tread and trample enemies. Oh, that feels good. That feels good. Sometimes it can feel bad. I've got to confess to you now that I'm a murderer. I have murdered a living being. I murdered a snail. One night. I didn't mean to. It really got me down. We had come back from a prayer meeting. Sam and I, she's weeping with laughter now. I was parked up in our car parking space outside our house. I was only 20, 21. Just been in the heights of the presence of the Lord. And I committed murder. Well, grievous bodily harm, maybe, I don't know. And we walked quietly. It was about 11 o'clock. It was dark. Didn't want to wake anybody up. So quiet. And then put my foot down. And oh, it just reverberated. And I squashed this thing. And now every time I read that verse in Luke 10, 19, that we'll tread on snakes and scorpions and trample them, nothing will harm us. I'm like, well, thank you, Lord. But there is also a thing which I love. Now this, okay, you may leave the church over this. You may leave the church over this. I do like to kill a spider or two. Put your hands up if you are a spider saver. Now, come on. You're with me now. Put your hands up if you're a spider killer. Yes. That's right.
I'm caught unawares.
Caught unawares. Oh. Are you a wasp killer? Oh, I love a good wasp. Oh, if any wasp comes into my house, he does not know what is ready for it. Oh, dear. I whack that wasp so jolly hard, it has to brush its teeth where the sun... Oh, I won't go there. But yes, you just know where I'm going to say, brother and sister. Amen. It's just going to die. Its backside is going to see its front side for the first time. Let's just put it that way. That's the mindset that God has for those who are dwelling with him. Trample on stuff. Don't give it a second. Don't give it a space. You know what? God wants to save us from that kind of attitude of like, oh, okay, so there's bad things in my life. Okay, well, we'll just have those. Yeah. That's mine. That's my little bad thing. That's bad for me. Yeah, I always struggle with that. No. Things go well when you dwell with God. Stamp on it. Stamp on it. Might take a few stamps. Might take a long few stamps. Might have to do a bit of the old rub it in. But that's what God calls us. And as we are dwelling with him, things happen. Well, you may have guessed. This is the message. All is well as you dwell. Turn to the person next to you and say, with faith in your heart, all is well as you dwell. All is well as you dwell. Okay, I'm going to read out some more, and after every single one of these benefits, you're going to say, all is well as you dwell. This is something you don't need to pray for. You don't need to pray to be rescued. Oh, that was really good. I wasn't expecting that then. That was great. We don't even have to pray to be rescued. Oh, that's really good. We'll go on to the next one. We don't even have to pray for protection. Isn't that amazing? It just happens. Next time you hear someone in a prayer meeting say, dear Lord, protect us, say no. That's right. Just say that. Just look at them and go, all is well when you dwell. Verse 15. Prayers are answered. All is well when you dwell. Look at that. Here it goes. Where is it? Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me. And probably I will give him what he needs. No. All is well when you dwell. He will call upon me, and I will, if things are going okay in his life, give him maybe a little bit of what he wants. No. All is well when you dwell. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. Just hear the Lord say that right to you now. Let me read it out. You take it in, ready? Here comes a bit of a feast. You will call upon him, and he will answer you. Listen to it again. I will call upon you, and you will answer me. That's faith building in your heart right there. Just listen to it a third time. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. Oh, that's good, isn't it? You know what that is? That's a little sweet, what you just had there. When I used to take Samuel to school, Samuel, my son, is a master of keeping sweets in his mouth for ages. It's a terrible thing because sweets should be downed immediately. But we would have a polo at the start of the journey. And the journey would take an hour to get to school because we used to take Sam to work and Sophie to work, and then I'd end up taking Samuel. And we'd get out of the car and he'd go, look, Dad, I've still got my polo. That polo dwelt on his lips for ages, sucking all the goodness out of it. Have you done that before? Boiled sweets? Can't stand boiled sweets. I go straight for the chocolate. But the boiled sweets. Amen, brother. That's it. Boiled sweets. Just suck all the goodness out of them. I saw something terrible yesterday in a sweet shop. Sugarless boiled sweets. Bad enough as it is. They're so bad you have to put sugar on to taste good. But anyway, there we go. Well, praise God. All is well when you... Yeah, you got it. Verse 15. God is with you in trouble. I did feel that at the beginning of the service, that there are people here, I'm included in that actually, that are going through something which we can't seem to get out of, as it's taking a long time. And everything you try to make this bad situation go away is not going away. And you've come to the point where you've worked out, hold on a minute, I think God wants me to go through this. I don't think he wants me to trample on snakes and scorpions in this situation. Hold on a minute. I think he's not going to save me immediately from this. Hold on a minute. I think he's going to answer my prayers, just taking a while here. Hold on a minute. What's going on here? No, it's not spiritual warfare. No, it isn't. Hold on a minute. I haven't got a great sin in my life. No, I am in repentance. Hold on a minute. I've tried everything, and it's still not working. Have you ever had those experiences? Yes, I thought I was a real human being. Why is that? Psalm 23 gives the answer. He wants to lay a table, metaphorically, of speaking of his presence and his goodness, in the presence of the enemies. And he's using my situation, he's using your situation. My situation is my house selling. We've tried to sell it now since, over a year ago, and it fell through again a few days ago for the sixth time. It's the third time it's got beyond the survey stage. People have spent out money, and then their own personal circumstances, nothing to do with our property, have caused them to not be able to go through with it. Somebody had their house devalued. Somebody suddenly faced a massive tax bill. And sadly and tragically recently, as I watched, someone had a granddaughter that died, and they no longer needed to move. God is setting a table in the presence of your enemies. And my financial difficulties and my emotional wanting to be here and live in Belvedere and enjoy life here and still being attached to Wickham and everything is a heart pain. It's a problem. You've got your issues that are going on and on and on. But you know what the Lord is saying? Let's just dwell here for a little bit. Let me show you how I can make you praise me, worship me, sing with all your heart when all this is happening, and the world looks on and says, how can you do that? How can you be that way? Tell me about your peace. I'll tell you about my peace. This is happening. This is happening. This is happening. But as we just sung, I know who's in control. Oh, that's good, isn't it? All is well as you. You got it. Verse 15. We're going to be delivered eventually. Don't believe the hype. Even Job was delivered. It is not an argument to say, you can't be healed, remember Job. It's not an argument to say, you're always going to have this problem, remember Job. If you remember Job, you've got to remember his salvation. It was better for Job at the end than it was at the beginning. Because God is good. That's good, isn't it? Verse 15. He's going to honour you. All is well as you dwell. That's what a lot of men like, honour. Not always money, not always time, not always love, not always sex, believe it or not. Honour, respect. If you want to reduce the number of arguments and stress in your house, ladies, give men respect. It's not to say you're not at the moment, but it can be a key. Men love respect. David put this in here because after the battle, after the victory, he got more respect as a leader. His position as a king was more safe. People trusted him more. I heard a most ridiculous thing on holiday. We watched American TV. I tell you, God has saved you by letting you be born in the UK. American TV goes something like this. There's a big hurricane coming. It's Donald Trump's fault. It's his fault because none of you believe what he says anyway. So you're questioning whether there's going to be a hurricane anyway. I genuinely heard that on CNN, an international major broadcast. I almost fell off my luxurious bed next to the beach. I didn't want to rub it in, but yeah. I was just shocked by it, what people can believe. Just incredible. That people don't believe certain things which are obvious. And the dishonour that people are trying to put on Donald Trump, I'm not saying he's a great leader, he's brought a lot on himself, bless him, but the honour of leadership is so powerful and so important, and men leading their homes, that's so important. It is a very difficult moment in a young lad or a young lady's life when they're growing up and they realise, oh, my dad doesn't know everything. I thought he did. Oh, my dad can't help me. I've got to do it. Oh, actually, I don't think if my dad was my age, we'd be mates. Sorry, these thoughts are all going to happen. Don't worry, they're coming. Don't worry. You probably, yeah. Yep. I got the same. Honour is so important. And God gives us honour. All is well as we... That's the one. Oh, this is the best. This is the last one, I think. It's going on for ages, isn't it? Oh, sorry. Am I boring you? So many blessings. Oh, dearie me. I mean, what have you got left to pray about? We're just going to spend time looking at Jesus. We're just going to spend time worshipping him in 24-1 prayer day. That's it. We're just going to come in this room, in this building, and go, I love you, Lord. You're awesome. You're wonderful. Oh, tell me more about your grace. Show me more how much you've forgiven me. Tell me more about your awesome loveliness. Show me your glory, Lord. The Holy Spirit's going to be very busy that weekend because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit takes from what is his and makes it known to us. He's going to be going back and forth. Oh, they're asking me for more, Lord. So the Holy Spirit loves revealing Jesus to us. You're going to know Jesus more than you did on the 24th of September, 12 noon, when this service finishes, than when you did previously on the 23rd, 12 p.m. Saturday, spending time with him, satisfying with a long life. Some people don't want to live forever. Some people have so much trouble and pain, they just want to end it. And that's tragic. That's difficult. But God satisfies you as you dwell with him. How great to be 77 and having young people envy you. They've got all their homework. They've got all the pressure of having to have a family coming. They've got to make their own way. And there you are, going on another day trip, handing them back for the nappy change, all those wonderful things. It's great, isn't it? Oh, how long have we got till we retire? 23 years and 14 days. Anyway, moving on. Verse 17, he will show us his salvation. Oh, it's just glorious. All is well. You got it. Okay. I'll come back to that. Why does this happen? Why is everything well as you dwell? Why? Simply as we are near him. It is the nature of things. If you stand inside a castle, what are the chances of you being hit by an arrow? Not a lot. If you are standing behind a shield, what are the chances of you being hit by a mallet that's thrown? Not a lot. This is what David is saying. You love God. God loves you. You spend time together. All this just happens. It's not because you've done anything. It's the nature of God. If all these things were going to happen to you because you'd done something, you'd get all the credit and God wouldn't get any. Because that would be a trade. That doesn't glorify God. What glorifies God is that you get all the benefits and had done nothing for it. That is the only deal that is too good to be true. But it has to be too good to be true because it's God. He redefines truth and he redefines good. And it's redefined by grace and mercy. So don't think, oh, these things will only happen to me when I'm good enough. If that's going to be the case, you might as well go to hell right now. None of us are any good enough. That's why they're so good, so juicy, so tasty. Just let that sweet, that promise of God dwell in your mouth. Take it in. Take it in. Let me just show you one biblical example before we finish. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. This is a very, very hard passage for a lot of people to take. And if I'm honest, this has been a very hard passage for me to take. Because for the first time in my life, I heard God say something to me which I felt was a bit unfair. That sounds stupid, God being unfair. But that's what I felt. I felt it was a bit, if I'm honest, I actually felt it was a bit uncaring. I'll read it to you. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. This is Jesus in the home of Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away from her. This is basically the underlying conversation that's going on. Jesus, don't you care? And Jesus says to Martha, no. But Jesus does care. If Jesus cared, he would have got up off his lazy backside and helped Martha with the cooking. If you were a caring person, see where it's going? You would do this. You would do that. God doesn't always care about what you always care about. I'm sorry to tell you that. I'll just say it again because you probably don't believe I'm even saying it. God doesn't always care about what you care about. Because he cares about something greater, and that's himself. And you wouldn't want to live in a universe where he didn't care about himself. Because there'd be no justice, there'd be no righteousness, there'd be no fairness, there'd be pain and suffering, death and evil. But because he does care about himself, and he does glorify himself, and he shows his mercy, grace, forgiveness and love constantly, you get the benefit of that. How good is that? That's why these promises are certain. They're always certain, because he's unchanging. Malachi says, if it wasn't for me not changing, you'd have been destroyed. That's how bad it got in Israel without God. And it got destroyed. But look at this picture. Mary, lazy old Mary, sitting down at the Lord's feet, not caring about all the important things. And this is the thing. This is where Martha, to be fair, give her some credit. And this is what I struggle with. She's doing important things. She's got a lot of people coming into her home. Now, I don't want to blow the trumpet of my wife, but I'm going to blow the trumpet of my wife. Not one person gets through our front door without being given a drink, some food, sit down, take it easy, enjoy it, brings food. I took a great hospitality. Imagine if you came into my home and Sam just sat there. Imagine the conversations on the way home. Well, you know what happened? We went into the house, we didn't give me a drink at all. Well, I think we need to pray about this. I don't bring it to a church meeting. So we gave him that big house full, and that lovely garden. That's exactly what was happening here. That's exactly what's happening here. What's even worse is Jesus was complicit in it. He said, I'm not going to take it away from her. That's what Jesus meant. Martha, you're asking me to tell Mary to get off her backside and go and help you, but I'm actually going to tell Mary, no, stay where you are. Because I'm loving it. You're sitting at my feet. Oh, and don't forget, I'm the uncreated, eternally existent one. Let's get the order right. And you'll listen to every word I say. Oh, don't forget, my words give life. Oh, you're putting me as number one priority, not rushing off, even to do very important cultural things that might wind people up. You'd rather wind people up than wind God up, wouldn't you? I thought you would. 24:1 prayer. It's getting the priority in our life right. It's dwelling with God. What did Mary do? This is dwelling prayer. You know, when I was talking about this dwelling, well, what actually is it? What's the activity of it? What's it look like? We are so used to praying that I know that people are going to come in this building. It's going to be in this room, by the way. We're not going to use the side or the back or anything like that. It's all in here. And I know that some of you can say I can pray at home, and I do appreciate that. But I'm just saying, hey, come here instead. Let's come together. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray at home. I'm just saying this time. And I know also that there's lots of other types of prayers that are good. It's good to pray for the community. That's my passion. It is good to pray for the world. Let's pray for North Korea and the old nuclear stuff. It's good. But it's just not as good sitting at the feet of Jesus. There's a time for that. This isn't a time. So what does it look like? Because people are going to come in here and they're going to start praying for things. And I'm just going to go up to them and go, pray about that next week. Leave that till next week, because you don't really need to pray about that, because all is well when you... And then someone else will pipe up, pray about that. You don't need to pray about that, that's covered. That is sorted as we dwell. And there's a heck of a lot of stuff in our lives that is already sorted, and we're missing out on the enjoyment of the dwelling. And isn't it great that God has that for us? You know, all the pressure is just lifting off us right this minute now. There's a heck of a lot of things we don't have to pray for. He's called us to dwell with him. And so what does Mary do? Let's look at the activity of what she actually does. She sat at the Lord's feet, listening. She just listened. She shut her cake hole and she listened. She stopped her spiritual spouting prayers that don't go anywhere. And she shut her gob. Can I say that? She shut her mouth. She just kept quiet. She knew that Matt Redman song that was in Scripture, I'll let my words be few. That's where Scripture got it from Matt Redman. God is in heaven, I'm on earth. I'll let my words be few. Enough said. That's all dwelling is. I'm not saying you won't respond to some of the things that God says. Can you imagine Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and Jesus says some of these amazing parables just for Mary? She's like, oh, that is so good. You've got to hear this, Martha. You've got to hear what he just said. It's so good. He said, if we dwell, all is well. Of course he would. It's in the Bible, isn't it? It's not my word. It's in the Bible. That's amazing. And Martha's like, yes, I know. Just pass me the cloth. Yeah, I know. And you don't really know. That's what Mary did. She just listened. So when we come together and pray in this 24 period, be a fair amount of silence. There'll be a fair amount of praise and worship and just like, you're amazing, God, because we're staring at one who's like a son of man. Look at this incredible passage, just to be closed, in the end of Revelation. Sorry, beginning of Revelation. This is John. Revelation chapter 1, don't have to turn to it, I'll read it to you. It's John, the disciple of Jesus. He's learnt this. He's learnt to just be at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says he was in the Spirit. It's not too mystical. That's just he was praying. He was listening to God. You can be in the Spirit on your bike. You can be in the Spirit on the train. You can be in the Spirit anywhere. But you can be out of the Spirit. It doesn't matter where you are. It's not location-based. It's your spirit towards God's Spirit, in connection with him. He was in the Spirit. He might have been praying in tongues. He might not have been. Doesn't matter. Both are the same. You can pray in Spirit in English. And he says this. I, John, your brother and companion, in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. He is as a prisoner on an island of Patmos. He is suffering. Right? He's separated from his family. His mobile phone battery has run out. He's got nowhere to charge it. He can't get word home to his people who care for him. He's having the time of his life. He's got all the suffering going on. He's in the Spirit. Don't you think he should sort things out a bit? Try and escape? No, he's just having the time of his life, dwelling with God. Well, of course, God's made a table for him in the presence of his enemies, and he's loving it. And he says this. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. He means September the 23rd and 24th. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, and it said, Jesus said something. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. It doesn't end there. He gets sucked in, drawn in by the beauty and amazement and the wonderment of who Jesus is. And he starts going on. He says, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash round his chest. His head and hair were like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. And if he was born in our day, he'd be like, cool! That's awesome! That's the definition of awesome. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. Oh, that's amazing. Have you ever stood by a waterfall and listened? It's like magnetic, isn't it? It's just like, look at it. You ever stared into a fire? It's amazing. You just look at it. That's what it's like when you see Jesus. You're just like, that's amazing. In his right hand, he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a double-edged sword. Whoops, watch out. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Oh, the press in America loved that picture. Donald Trump looking up to try and see the eclipse. You see that? It was a full eclipse of the sun in America while we were there. It just went a bit dull where we were. And the press loved it. Dangerous man looking at the sun without glasses. Should he run our country? I'll give it a break. I know he's an idiot, but come on. And then, they don't hardly ever take the photographs of him wearing the glasses. I mean, I kind of looked out like, where's the sun? Oh, there it is. And that's all, we all did that. It was crazy, isn't it? But looking at the sun is such a way that it can damage your eyes. Well, looking at Jesus doesn't damage us. Just all goes well. Let's just turn to the person next to us and say again. But let's personalize it. All is well with you as you dwell. Just say that song. Bless them. All is well with you as you dwell. Amen. Let's have the worship team back up. There must be a good song that we can sing after that.
The Lord bless you and keep you this week. The Lord make his face shine upon you now and always and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.